Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stamos.
Hello, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stamos, and today's show, I have some more Women of Wisdom Conference presenters, each sharing their gifts with us in February. And today on the show, we're going to talk about ceremony and how we can bring the sacred back to our lives and bring it into our family. And I think that's a perfect topic for the holidays. Essentially, we've been brought up with some family traditions, and I think sometimes they get to be routine. We don't make them special anymore. We don't take the time to put our focus on them to continue to make them meaningful. So what can you do to add purpose to your holiday gatherings with friends and family? In my family, when I was a kid, I brought up Norwegian Lutheran. We always celebrated Christmas Eve. So we didn't open presents Christmas Day like most of my friends. We had a special dinner, opened our presents, well, after we did the dishes, singing carols, and we read about Jesus' birth, and then we went to the candlelight church service. So that was our tradition. It felt special to me. So whatever your religion is, and there's many diverse celebrations this month, take the time to ponder what would bring more meaning to your gatherings to bring ceremony into the holiday experience. So my first guest is Linda Neal, and Linda is a fourth-generation Oregonian of English, Norwegian, Polish descent. After college, she lived and taught for 3 years on the Navajo Indian Reservation in northern Arizona. And in 1987, she returned to the reservation with her family and had an experience with a scorpion, which began a process that would dramatically change her life's direction. In 1989, she met a Native American elder and sun dancer who would later become her husband and became involved in what he termed the natural way, or what others call the Red Road. In 1991, she founded the Earth and Spirit Council, a nonprofit educational organization, which has as its mission to help people reestablish their spiritual connection to the Earth and to engage ourselves and others in Earth-conscious living. For the past 20 years, Linda has integrated ceremony in her work with couples and families. She has participated in many different indigenous ceremonies throughout North and South America and helped begin a program called the Eagle and Condor, connecting Native North Americans with their South American brothers and sisters. And in 1999, she became the first caretaker of a woman's ceremonial drum, began in learning indigenous women's ceremonial songs, and various medicine men and women have given Linda permission to teach songs to other women. So she's begun a women's drum circle in order to pass on these teachings. The drum, now called Woman Spirit Drum, has participated in many women's ceremonies and is often called on for ceremonies and concerts. And she has a new book out called The Power of Ceremony, Restoring the Sacred in Our Lives, Our Families, Our Communities. And so her work in ceremony overlaps the circles of deep ecology, Native American spiritual traditions, women's spirituality, and depth psychology. She is giving a workshop at Woman of Wisdom on Saturday morning, February 18th. It's called The Power of Ceremony, Restoring the Sacred in Our Lives, and you can read about it at our website, womanofwisdom.org. Just click on the 2012 conference and look for her in the Saturday events. So welcome, Linda, to Voices of Women.
Thank you, Chris. It's a delight to be here and talk to you.
Yes, well, we're delighted to have you at the conference, and congratulations on your book. It sounds fabulous.
Well, thank you. It only took me 9 years to write, so it wasn't something that I just whipped out overnight.
Same thing.
There's been a number of incarnations of this book, and I'm actually happy. I've had a lot of positive reviews, and it's doing pretty well. So I'm excited about it, but I'm mostly excited about the opportunity that it gives me to talk to women about bringing ceremony back into our Western culture, and that's just one of the things that's important to me in my life. So,
yes, it sounds
like, here.
Yeah, so I'm curious, because you take that on as your mission now. That's your purpose, obviously, from the reintroduction. But tell us about, you know, how that was developed. And it sounds like there was a big transition around that scorpion bite and how that changed your life.
Oh, dear. That is a long story. And but basically, it's in the book. So if people want to read more about that whole story, it's also been written about in a couple of other books because it was such a dramatic thing. And, it's one of those synchronistic experiences that Carl Jung talks about, where, I had a real experience of being stung by a scorpion down in the Grand Canyon and thought I would die. And then, I didn't. And, but then I had a dream about a scorpion, and then the dream kind of manifested itself again in reality, just like, well, many of the experiences that Carl Jung writes about. And when something like that happens, it's like getting hit over the head with a sledgehammer or something. It's just like, okay, pay attention here. There is something that is important that is trying to get through. And since then, I've learned a lot about the scorpion. And one of the things I've learned is that it's a protector of feminine energy. And there aren't a lot of people left on the planet that carry scorpion medicine. I've learned that from various medicine people. So, but that led me into, it's kind of like one thing led to another, and soon I was, because, when you have an experience like that, that kind of synchronistic experience, you want to make sense out of it. And the only people that I knew that at that point that really understood what that might be about were Jungian psychologists and Native elders for whom neither one of them interpreted that experience for me, but they encouraged me to find out what it was. And so one thing led to another, and here I am with a book.
Yes.
And,
yeah.
So it's but the thing that really, the reason that I really wrote the book had to do with helping people to reconnect with their own spiritual roots. The people are very hungry for ceremony and for a real spiritual connection to the land, to God, or what the great, whatever you want to call that spiritual force. And and one of the most effective ways that I know of to help people restore that connection that we need so desperately in our culture is through ceremony. And we all come from a ceremonial culture. If you go back far enough in time, my Norwegian ancestors, I heard you say you were from Norway too. We had ceremonies for planting. We had ceremonies for the solstice. We had, we knew about our connection to the land, and we had ceremonies to celebrate that. So, the wonderful thing about the Native, American people, the indigenous people, is that they haven't had quite as long as we have had to forget.
Mm-hmm.
They still remember, and there's still people who practice those ceremonies and who are willing to teach other people what those are about. So so that's why I think Native people, indigenous elders have been my teachers, and whenever I talk, or I acknowledge them, because there have been so many of them. People like Martin Heiber and Buck Ghost Horse and Godfrey Chips and Matthew Fox also. Helmina Makes Him First, and my own grandmother. But many, they're just, I really acknowledge those people and respect them and for passing on their teachings, you know, to somebody who at, you know, right out of college, I was just didn't know what I was doing. And I was very lucky and fortunate to have these people in my life. So, and my husband, of course, has been really my best teacher. His name's Rod. And so it's been a great journey. And I think it did start with that little scorpion bite a long time ago.
Well, I love it that you said it's the protector of feminine energy, and it totally makes sense with some of the work that you're doing now. And, yeah, when those things happen, we do have to pay. It is like a sledgehammer. We do have to pay attention. So, and I'm also curious because you talk about going back far enough to our heritage, and so many people are, like, looking to Native Americans and studying Native American ceremony and rituals and their path, and yet, what's your take on that versus going back and finding your own roots? And you know, because I know there's a lot of controversy around that.
There is. Just yesterday I was talking to a friend of mine who is, I think she's Cheyenne, about this. And, you know, because on the one hand, there are people that say, you know, it's really impossible to understand or practice certain ceremonies unless you come from that culture. And, you know, I actually agree with that. Or unless you're raised in that culture, or unless you've been showing up and practicing and learning that those ceremonies for a long, long time. And then there are other people, like my husband, for example, who says nobody owns the ceremonies. Nobody owns the water. Nobody owns the air. You know, no one owns this. It's not about ownership. And my own understanding is that, for one thing, not all ceremonies are created equal. You know, I would, if I was going to run, let's say, a sun dance, which I would never do, but, you know, you have to, if you're going to do a ceremony like that, you have to be raised in, or you have to really have studied that. You have to have it be passed on. You know, you have to have learned and practiced for a long, long time before you would take on that, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, because it's not just...
Go ahead.
I know, it's not a routine thing. Like, you have to know the meanings behind everything. Well, we're going to talk more about this. We have to go to a commercial break now, but I just want to let people to know that Linda's giving away one copy of her book. For the first caller, call 1-800-930-2819. That's 800-930-2819 and receive Linda's new book.
All right.
Okay.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
We all want deeper, more intimate relationships. But how do we create successful relationships and maintain strong connections? Peter King has some real answers. Author of The Monogamy Challenge, Creating and Keeping Intimacy, Peter is one of the original breathworkers and relationship trainers with over 30 years' experience. Breathe, relax, or create intimacy and keep it thriving. Visit peterkane.org or contact Peter King at 425-802-2050. Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I was dealing with anxiety and depression, and nothing seemed to help me. Then I started to work with Dr. Schaub's Breakthrough Program. In just a few sessions, he helped me to finally understand and heal the deeper root cause of my challenges. As a result, I feel more centered and confident than ever before. And now I have the tools which will continue to support me throughout my life's journey. Dr. Schaub's approach has changed my life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Friedman Schaub, and I work with people across the globe to help them break through anxiety and depression and access their true potential. If you are ready to bring back confidence, joy, and meaning in your life, call us to schedule a free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit our website at cellularwisdom.com. That's cellularwisdom.com.
Imagine a chocolate so decadent that you'd never believe it could be good for you. Align your inner bliss with Mother Nature's magic. The power of cold-pressed cocoa by Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Shosai is everything you ever dreamed healthy should taste like. We combine unprocessed cocoa with acai and blueberry for an unbeatable high-oxidant powerhouse. Shosai, the healthy chocolate. Visit us at lifesaverchocolate.com. Or call 888-287-2011.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Danis, and I'm talking to Linda Neal. And Linda, can you give your contact information, your website, or whatever you want people to know?
Oh, sure. Yeah, my website is, it's very easy. It's just my name, www.lindaneale.com. But you have to spell Neal right. It's LindaNeale.com. And on there you can get in touch with me and learn about the book. And, you know, there's also the books available through Amazon and Powell's and a number of different places. But, yeah, and I'm happy to answer questions or, you know, you can get on my website and find out about other upcoming workshops. And I've been going kind of all over talking about this and using the book as a vehicle to really engage women, and especially women, in the topic of ceremony. But I wanted to finish up that topic we were talking about. Is that okay, Chris?
Yeah, I just want to remind people, too, that you're coming to Seattle for the Woman Wisdom Conference, and that'll be Saturday, February 18th, and she'll be doing the Power of Ceremony, Restoring the Sacred in Our Lives. So you can read about that at womanofwisdom.org. So, yes, we were talking about this whole, you know, your own cultures, traditions, and the Native American tradition, you know, people studying that and then taking that on as their spiritual practice. And the and the controversy around that.
Yeah, and my my own understanding, and I've, from all of the elders that I've ever learned from, is that it's really not about race, but it is about respect. And I think that respect is like fundamental, because there's so many people, and I don't care what color they are, who go out and they'll do a weekend workshop and, I don't know, you know, shamanism or something, and then they go out and they call themselves a shaman, and it's so disrespectful. And, you know, what happened down in Arizona with that sweat lodge with what's his name, you know, that was so disrespectful. And so, you know, when people understand and feel and see that you want to learn, and that you're, you know, you have some humility, and it's not about ego, they pick that up. You know, it mm-hmm. doesn't matter who you are, you'll pick that up. And there are some ceremonies, like I said, not all ceremonies are created equal. There's a difference between a sun dance and a talking circle, for example. There are some things that you can do and that are, you know, maybe come from you know, come out of the native tradition. I mean, things like the talking circle that are wonderful, amazing, deep ceremonies when you really know how to do them. But more importantly, it's like, and that's why I wrote this book, there are these principles that are that underlie all ceremonies that we can use to bring back the ceremonies that are in our own, that are in our culture, that are, can be, they might be new ceremonies, and they might not, sometimes they're getting, they might seem a little funky because we are making mistakes along the way, and that's okay. You know, we're going to make mistakes, but the idea of bringing the idea of ceremony, transition ceremonies, coming of age ceremonies, whatever they are, into our culture is something, back into our culture when they were stomped out so many years ago, is something that is just, that I see happening, and it's very exciting to see it happening.
So why do you see there's such a need for ceremony in our modern culture? What's, you know, we are very aware of all the sort of the destructive trends in our society, lack of family ties, we've got drug, alcohol abuse, all that, violence, lack of respect for nature, all that. What will ceremonies and rituals do for that, for those issues?
Well, I think one of the most sort of clear examples and of what ceremony can do has to do with coming of age ceremonies, because there are many psychologists who have written about the need to bring back those ceremonies in our culture. That, you know, when you look at things like gangs and even military hazing and that sort of thing, they're thwarted attempts to initiate the young into adulthood. And, you know, we used to have, I mean, many people used to have a process where when women got their first moon time or their first period, you know, there was a ceremony. I mean, the Navajo and the Lakota both have this, they have beautiful ceremonies for girls when they come of age. Or the vision quest, which used to be a regular thing for young men to kind of find out, you know, their vision and the direction for their lives. You know, what do we have in our culture? Well, you know, you get your driver's license, or let's see, what else? I guess you get to drink. You know, whoop-de-doo. We don't have anything that really is that kind of profound and a shift for young people, so that it's a struggle. You know, they go through the struggle about what does it mean to be an adult, where really in indigenous cultures, when you had that ceremony, one day you were a child and then you were an adult. You went through the ceremony and you were an adult. And, of course, you made mistakes, etc., but you were given all of the rights and privileges of being an adult. We can't do that anymore. So you think about, teenagers today and what they're going through. And I've been fortunate enough to do a number of coming of age ceremonies for young women. And it's incredibly healing and powerful when you see the young women welcomed into a circle of other women, you know, and you see them welcomed and you see the teachings, etc. It's amazing. It makes a huge difference for young people. A huge difference. So that's,
yes, I've seen it. I've seen it too. And yeah, it's really amazing to witness and to be a part of that. And I have a friend, well, someone in our Woman Wisdom community who did it for her granddaughters. They were twins, and they thought it was so powerful. They're talking to their friends about, you know, I mean, they pass it on. They're passing on that, what their experience is. And the more we can do that, because you're right, we don't have any cultural traditions, in our country of honoring the young and honoring our elders of the passages that they're going through. And so it makes for a very isolated and lonely culture in a way.
Oh, it is. It is. And that's one of the big functions of ceremony, is to help with that, you know, help us reconnect. And I'm, you know, in my book, I talk about old ceremonies. In other words, ceremonies that have been around for a long time. And most of those are Native or Indigenous ceremonies. But then I talk about some of the new ceremonies, which maybe have only been around 20 or 30 years, but seem to be standing the test of time. And one of them is a ceremony called the Women of the 14th Moon. And it is a ceremony that began in California by three women, a Celtic woman and a Native woman and a Jewish woman. And that is a ceremony to honor elder women and the stages we go through to become elders. But that's another, you know, there's a part, when the first time I went to that ceremony, you know, more than 20 years ago down in California now, there was a woman who stood up, because at the end of the ceremony, the elder women get to share what's been important to them about being, you know, what they want to pass on to younger women about being a woman. And there was this one woman who stood up, and she was in her 70s, and I remember this just vividly, and she shared, this kind of thin woman, and she shared, you know, from her heart. And then afterwards she said, you know, this is the first time in my life that anyone's ever listened to me.
And so many women have that experience, yes.
Yeah. And it was so profound that I thought, okay, I guess I'm signing on. I'm going to do this ceremony. So a friend of mine and I took the talking stick, and we brought that ceremony to Oregon, and it's now been going up here for a number of years. And it's gone all over the world, actually. But that's an example of a new ceremony that, you know, it hasn't been around forever, but it's developing a whole, it's been done in churches. You know, these are not all Native American things. It's been done in...
No, and people...
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, just people can, you know, create that kind of ceremony for the elders in your community. You can bring your community together of all ages and honor the elders. And I know that there's books probably out there, including yours, of how to make ceremony. Well, it's been great talking to you, and we're running out of time, but I want everybody to know how they can reach you is go to Linda's website, LindaNeale, NEALE.com.
Yes.
Sign up. Do you have a newsletter?
You can sign up, and I send out things every once in a while. I have a blog. There's an interesting one on the difference between ceremony and ritual in there, and what is a shaman.
Okay.
And it's fun.
Yeah, great. Okay, well, thank you so much for being here today, and I really look forward to seeing you in February. Again, everybody, look for her workshop, The Power of Ceremony, at the Woman of Wisdom Conference. It's February 18th. So I'm Chris Danish. You're listening to Voices of Women. We come back, we're going to talk to another amazing, wild presenter, Maura Barclay, about compassionate self-defense for women.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts are specialty products with less sodium, up to 68% than standard table salt, free of any chemicals or artificial flavors. Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts maintain 84 necessary minerals for a balanced diet and healthy body. All Ocean's Flavor natural sea salts may be purchased at oceansflavor.com. And now, Ocean's Flavor natural less sodium sea salts has introduced heart health the gourmet seasoning at 68% less sodium than table salt. Available in Mexican, Italian, garlic, seasoned, Asian, barbecue, Cajun, and Chipotle flavors. The sodium is the lowest of any seasonings on the market today. Purchase heart-healthy gourmet seasonings on the web at oceansflavor.com and in many national grocery chains. Oceansflavor.com, the only salt company that produces 100% natural low-sodium sea salt.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller, 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie Deluce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie Deluce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie Deluce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie Deluce, your partner in wellness.
Welcome back. I'm Chris Stanis, and this is Voices of Women. And now, in this part of the show, I'm going to be talking with Mara Barclay. She is also going to be at Woman of Wisdom. She is a former firefighter and a title-winning bodybuilder. She is trained in mixed martial arts, a therapeutic style of yoga called Yoga Tune-Up, and the Zen art of Budokan, and if I mispronounced that, she can correct me. She's studied under the master and creator of Budokan, and she recently earned the rank of sensei. Mara taught yoga tune-up at prestigious Equinox Fitness Club locations throughout Los Angeles and soon became an Equinox teacher trainer traveling to clubs around the nation. Currently, she is the director for training and continuing education for tune-up fitness worldwide. She just moved to Seattle, and she teaches yoga tune-ups at select CrossFit and Eight Limbs yoga locations, and she has a private yoga therapy practice in the West Seattle Wellness. So her greatest passion remains Unbreakable Woman, the Art of Compassionate Self-Defense. And she's developing her book on this subject. She teaches this Unbreakable Woman empowerment seminars to women and teenage girls. And in her seminars, Mara discusses and rewrites the victimization process one step at a time to help women stay connected with their personal power and not get overwhelmed by fear or surprise. Unbreakable Woman strives to give women the confidence they need to walk through their world without fear. Mara's website is unbreakablewoman.com, and she's going to be presenting her workshop, Unbreakable Woman, the Art of Compassionate Self-Defense, on Monday morning, February 20th, at the Woman of Wisdom Conference in Seattle. So welcome, Mara, to Voices of Women.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I appreciate you having me.
Yes, well, tell us about your journey that brought you to this work. What made you interested in teaching self-defense?
Well, it's I think the thing that really makes it unique is that it's compassionate self-defense. When I started taking martial arts, I took self-defense classes taught both by men and women, and I felt like there was a piece missing. And because women are, and I'm speaking in broad strokes now, women are nurturing, and we are not competitive, we are communal. And I always felt like what these self-defense classes were asking us to do went against our very nature. Even though it's easy to get all riled up and talk about hitting somebody, in the moment, that's not our style. That doesn't come naturally to us. We want to cooperate. So I was seeing that there was a big problem there. And part of Unbreakable Woman came through my personal journey of healing the wounds caused by an abusive parent and finding compassion and forgiveness for them, and then moving forward, living an empowered life. And then those two things really came together for me, and I saw how my personal journey allowed me to live without fear. And growing up with fear, that was a revelation, and I got very excited about combining the compassion with the self-defense and helping women see how being compassionate is actually a really empowered place to live in, and that can actually help keep you safe.
So it sounds like, you know, like compassionate self-defense, it could have that connotation, and like you say about women being nurturers and stuff, that we're the weaker sex, you know. And so there's a sense of it being weaker, but you're saying, and I agree, that it's actually more, it's a more powerful place to come from if you recognize the power in that.
Absolutely. And I think one of my biggest contentions with self-defense as it's being taught in America is it really focuses on women, teaching women how to fight like men. And even though there is definitely value in becoming good with your body, and that's great if you want to go down that path, but you know, that's not really where the strength is. And for anyone, especially if you have small kids, everyone will tell you that it's very challenging emotionally to be compassionate with kids when they still are developing their empathy and they don't have a clue, because that's their job, they're children. It takes a great amount of intestinal fortitude to stay strong and be loving, and that is where women are at their best. And I really felt like no one is speaking to that part of women, and I really wanted to put the message out there that this is where our strength is, and when we start operating from our strengths, we have everything we need to keep us safe.
Well, I like that you say we teach women to, you know, for us to fight like men is not our natural state to be in. And so it actually, I would think, could be more dangerous for us.
Indeed. I think, please continue.
No, go ahead.
I believe that, you know, there are women who prefer, that's their MO, they prefer that style, but that is unusual. And even if you look at the way we're built, in fact, women, there's a wonderful self-defense class called Impact, where they have the man in the red suit, as we like to call him. And what they teach women is to get on the ground and fight with our legs, because all of our power is in our legs and in our hips. We are not designed biomechanically to fight with our arms and our hands. So the idea that we would train to do that, and usually self-defense classes are a weekend thing, unless you are being trained as a martial artist or a boxer, a fighter, unless you're being trained to do that, really our power is in our legs. And I wanted to actually get outside of that whole discussion, because the concept behind Unbreakable Woman is if you are using your physical body to defend yourself, something has gone wrong. And that truly where we are the smartest and where our greatest strength is in our intuition. And when mm-hmm. we rationalize it away, and when we, you know, collapse under the weight of being told we're paranoid, we literally talk ourselves out of our wisdom and our strength. And I want to help women reconnect with that and see where it's happening and listen to it and trust themselves so that they never have to use their strong legs and hips to defend themselves. The idea is never get in that position.
Right. So how do you teach, and there's lots of ways to teach intuition, but for this particular aspect of compassionate self-defense, what do you tell them to cue into?
Well, a lot of intuition is being aware. And, you know, again, and generally speaking, our nervous systems really haven't changed that much since the hunter-gatherer days. But our society and our technology is advancing much more rapidly than our nervous systems can process. So we are constantly being bombarded with images and colors and information that we have to juggle, which keeps us, one, distracted, and two, in a state of chronic low-grade stress. And these are not good conditions to listen mm-hmm. to our intuition when we are in danger. So we are already right. kind of in our sympathetic nervous system all the time. So it's almost as if that it's instead of being really aware and in tune with that particular instinct, it's kind of separated from us because of this state of being that we are in. And so what I teach women is awareness, which is part of most, and you know, any self-defense training worth itself is going to teach you awareness. But part of what I help women understand are some of the more subtleties of intuition. For example, if you look over your shoulder and you notice someone walking behind you and your intuition tells you that that person is dangerous, that's actually the second message. The first message was, it whispered to you, turn and look over your shoulder. And helping women understand the subtlety of noticing things, your intuition has you look at things that need your attention, and oftentimes we miss that first crucial sign, that first crucial survival signal. So I just help women reacquaint themselves, and always in my seminars I see them all nodding their head, oh yeah, thank you for reminding me. So this is stuff that women already know. We just get distracted, mm-hmm. and we need reminders.
Right, and just being aware of, you know, where you're walking at, you know, time of day, is it dark, where are you safest to walk? And being aware of your surroundings, and you're right, we are so bombarded that we forget that. I'm even aware of, as you were speaking, like for men to be aware of this, like men who aren't dangerous, to think how it affects a woman to come up behind a woman, it puts women out on edge because you don't know this person, and so for even men to be aware of their actions.
Absolutely. And I have a friend of mine who is a very self-aware man. He's a yogi. He does yoga with me. And he is so aware of other people, and specifically women, when he's walking and he wants to walk faster than them. He'll often give himself a great distance around from them, really respecting. He'll give them like a 7-foot radius if he can, because mm-hmm. he knows that as soon as he gets close to them, it's going to turn on their, he's going to come onto their radar, and he doesn't want to make them uncomfortable or have to worry about him. So he's very compassionate and empathetic that way. And you also bring up a really good point, Chris, which is, the most dangerous places for women, unfortunately, oftentimes are the places we think are the safest, because mm-hmm. we become complacent. And
right.
when that happens, we open the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm thinking, I had a new neighbor, and I was going to my car, and this guy crossed the street and went straight for me. Well, he was just inviting me to a party, but I didn't know who he was, and someone walking towards you in the street, I got in a very defensive reaction to him, and then I had to apologize, like, you know, but it threw me, because it's like, people don't walk to you that way. He was being very innocent, but it was kind of like, whoa, you know, my instinct was like, what's he doing?
Yeah, there's a man walking towards me on a mission, and I don't know what that mission is. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, well, we're actually going to have to pause and continue this conversation later, because we're running into our break time. So we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to continue this conversation with Maura Barkley in a moment.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Have you ever wanted to join a yoga class, yet felt self-conscious or simply didn't have the time? Now you can bring live Kundalini yoga into your home with KRI-certified Dr. Ann Taylor. You will learn a scientific technology of movement, mantra, meditation, and breathing techniques designed to balance your mind, body, and spirit. Sign up today for our free newsletter and receive your first class free. Visit Ann with an E, Taylor.com.
Are you at a crossroads? Feeling stuck? I'm Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. My gift is helping people who are in transition receive spirit-led guidance about their next steps. I offer private sessions via phone or Skype, intuitive development classes, and much more. Please visit my website, fogcitypsychic.com, to find out how I can help you move out of the fog.
Optimize your breast cancer screening without any radiation or pain. Effective, sensitive, and widely used thermal imaging in Europe is now available to you here in the U.S. Using state-of-the-art FDA-approved camera, Eastside's first and only breast thermography clinic is now open in Bellevue. Safe, sensitive, low cost, no referrals needed. Contact Holistic Medical Center at 425-451-0404 or on the web, drdarvish.com.
Women of Wisdom.
Well, again, that's Lorraine Bay singing our Woman of Wisdom theme song. You'll hear her sing at the Woman of Wisdom Conference, February 16th to the 20th. So I'm talking to Mara Barkley, and she has given a workshop at our conference called Unbreakable Woman, the Art of Compassionate Self-Defense. It's going to be Monday morning, February 20th, and you can read about it on our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. So, Mara, why don't you first give your website and contact information, whatever you want our listeners to know.
Oh, sure. It's www.unbreakablewoman.com, and I can be reached at maura@unbreakablewoman.com, and my name is spelled M like Mary, A-U-R-A, @unbreakablewoman.com. And I love to hear from people, love to hear their stories, and I blog, and so I've been blogging since 2007, and so if there's anything people want to discuss, I'd love to, you know, get my website is a forum for empowerment discussion and places where women have been spots. And luckily, women are always good about coming to the aid of other women and saying, well, here's what happened to me. Learn from my mistakes. So,
yeah, it is good to learn from other people. And I know that it's interesting because I think I didn't know this till I went to Europe. And I went and spent a month on in this apartment on the beach in Sicily. I'd rented from a friend to write my book, and I was the only person. It was a an apartment building, three floors, that were people who came from a city half hour away and just came in the summer months or weekends. So I was alone in that building most of the time, but I never felt so safe. And I thought, wow, if I was in Seattle living in an apartment building all by myself, no other rooms were filled, I would not feel safe.
Yeah, there's a lot of, we live in a very, antagonistic culture with a lot of guns and a lot of violence, and we glorify violence, and that's part of the American culture. And so it's very prevalent. And, the statistics don't lie. Every 2 minutes, one out of six women. So I can, it's very legitimate, your fear.
Yeah. I mean, I don't live alone, but it was just a comparison. Like if I was somewhere else, I wouldn't feel this safe. So we were talking at the last segment about some of our greatest threats aren't necessarily strangers on the street. So let's talk about that some more so that people are aware of what are the things that happen to women that we need to be aware of.
Yeah, according to RAIN.org, which is a wonderful, wonderful organization that does support and outreach and statistics and studies for violence against women, 73% of all offenders are known to the person they offend. So even though it's very newsworthy, all of these criminals perpetrating these horrific crimes that make the news, and that's really kind of what we're afraid of, that is only 25 to 30% of what's going on. And it's the people we know, our acquaintances, friends of family, that are truly the bigger problem, and that are creating, you know, victims walking wounded, going out into the world in a disempowered way and continuing the cycle. And I think the biggest mistake, and this is hard, when you have a really strong moral compass and you are a good person and you want to help people, it's hard not to project that onto other people and assume they operate like you do. So when a construction or when a contractor walks into your house and you're alone during the day and they're supposed to fix something, we just assume that they're going to be of the highest integrity and that they are going to do a great job and then leave. And sadly, that's not how everybody works. And so I think it's really important that there's always a little tiny part of us that remains vigilant to the possibility that there are people, for whatever reason, it's not about good and bad, it's about desired and undesired. There are people, for whatever reason, decide they get an idea in their head that they're going to victimize somebody for some reason. And then it's up to us to recognize that that can happen and not judge it. It's not our job to judge it. It's our job to make it very clear whether or not their intention is desired or undesired by us. That's it. And if you can reduce it to that, it becomes much less scary, and then you're not in a position to judge whether or not they're a good or bad person. You're just letting them know, not me. No, thank you.
And it doesn't even have, it can be in nonverbal communication too.
Oh, without question. I'm of the belief that as soon as a person makes a choice that they're going to harm another person, and they throw society convention out the window and they've lost their moral compass, they're operating basically in their lizard brain on animal instinct. And they know whether or not you're onto them. And the second you are onto them and you start making a plan, it changes the dynamic. Not a word is said, but everybody knows what's going on. It's all happening in subtext. It's very real, just as intuition is real, even though you can't see it and even though nothing's being said. So that's a really important point, and I'm glad you brought it up. Absolutely. The second you realize something's going on, or even if you think something's going on, you just make up your mind, no, this is not going to happen to me, and you start making a plan, and you figure out I might have to actually say something to this person. Oftentimes, it doesn't even get to that, because the second you recognize that they are dangerous, they've been outed, and they don't want to fight. You know, the surprise is their tactic, and the second they realize they can no longer surprise you, it's over. So that's a really important point you brought up.
So ideally, it'd be nice to know these things before you hire someone, like to look for cues.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
And we know when you're dealing with subcontractors, and that's just one example. Just, you know, you're putting groceries up. The book, The Gift of Fear by Gavin DeBecker, is an excellent book, which gives...
Yes, I've read that, yeah.
I reference him a lot in my seminars, and one of the examples he gives is you're just putting your groceries in your car, and someone very helpful comes up and says, hey, would you like to help with your groceries? You say, yeah, no, thank you. And it doesn't seem like a big deal until they start pressing you and really wanting to help you, and they keep not hearing your no. And it just all of a sudden you realize this person is trying to dominate me in some way. And that's one of those moments where you have to flip the switch. You have to go from being a nice person to I'm dealing with a potentially dangerous person. I need to make that change in how I deal with them. And also friends of the family. That is one of the most tricky landscapes, because here you have expectations on you on behavior, especially if this person is important to your family and your family's important to you. That person may not have your best interest in mind and may use the affiliation with the family and the trust that they've developed with them against you. And that is a very challenging scenario, especially if you are a younger person and you don't have the experience as an adult to know what to do. And, you know, we've got to get the information out there that if a person is putting somebody else in that bad of a position, they're not a good person and they no longer deserve the trust of you and the trust of your family. And
it takes you back to the being aware and aware of your intuition. If you pick up on anything, to pay attention to it, because there will be little cues that they give you, you know, and it's really being aware of that. Well, this has been great talking to you today. You're doing such great work. I really appreciate the work that you're doing, making women feel safe walking down the street and being aware of the power that they truly hold. So thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Chris. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so Mara will be presenting her workshop, Unbreakable Women, The Art of Compassionate Self-Defense, on Monday morning, February 20th, at the Women of Wisdom Conference. And just go look for our 2012 conference link on our page, womenofwisdom.org. So I'd like to leave everyone with this thought today. Are you an unbreakable woman? Do you know your personal power? Let's stop the victim mentality that harms us in so many ways. It's time for women to show their power. So our conference is February 16th through 20th. It's our 20th conference. We have some amazing people: Jean Houston, Jean Shinoda Bolin, Naomi Tutu, Rebecca Hill, a fabulous drummer. If you like drumming, just go to womenofwisdom.org and read about all the events that are being offered. You can just go to one event or you can attend all weekend long. You can also sign up for our newsletter at www.womenofwisdom.org. Find out about our monthly events. We have ongoing monthly dances for women and dinners and all sorts of things. So I also want to thank our co-sponsors for the conference. They are Dr. Pat Show, The Aspire Magazine, East West Bookshop, Seattle First Baptist Church Social Justice Ministries, Chrysalis Leadership, Karen Abbey from Coldwell Banker Bain, and Lisa Michaels from naturalrhythms.org. I'm going to thank them so much for being sponsors. I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom Conference and the organization. If you want to contact me, email me at womenofwisdom.org. So this is Chris Danis. I'm so glad to have spent this time with you. I hope you have a great weekend. I'm going to be talking to one of our featured guests next week, Imsara, and also another presenter, Gaishetta Kiawak. So have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Danis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today. Radio with Chris Danis.
Higher consciousness perspective. The hosts on Transformation Talk Radio offer a positive and new paradigm shift, a new vision for a collective future. They are empowering and helping all of us experience a powerful wave of personal shifts and cultural change as we break through to even greater levels of awareness. Take down our toll-free number, 1-800-930-2819. Call in, connect, make sure you tap into some of the world's most empowering psychics, healers, and more. Get an on-air reading with the best. Tune in, TransformationTalkRadio.com. Hey, everybody, we'll see you there.